It's At the Letters, Sportsnet's Blue Jays podcast with Arden Zwelling and Ben Nicholson Smith.
Changeup called strike three. David Price has used that changeup very effectively all afternoon. That's his 11th strikeout. That ties him for the most strikeouts in a first start with the Blue Jays.
It's At the Letters for Tuesday, August the 4th in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. My name is Arden Zwelling. I'm joined as always by Ben Nicholson Smith. We are, as always, on sportsnet.ca and on iTunes, not this time on the Fan 590, but you may have recently heard us on the Fan 590, and if you did, we thank you for coming along. Ben, what's up?
Not a whole lot. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
That was sweet.
Little Fan 590 guest appearance, and of course, available on the usual channels as well.
We're mainstream now. We're above the radar.
We were from the 12 a.m. to 1 a.m. hour, so I don't know how mainstream that is, but it was kind of cool.
You don't need to tell people about that part.
Yeah. Fun time.
The way I remember it, yeah, we were on, like, right, you know, they bumped McCowan off for us, the way I remember it, actually. Today is Tuesday. It feels like Monday, but it's Tuesday because yesterday was a holiday Monday in the city of Toronto. It was David Pricemas yesterday in Toronto, 45,000 strong at the Rogers Centre. You know what David Price called the best atmosphere he's ever pitched in. And you can take that for what it's worth. This is a guy who's pitched in World Series and pitched in game 163 against Texas. He's pitched some pretty big games. He called that the best he's ever pitched in. That could be perhaps just, you know, being nice to the fans. You know what I mean? Like, just kind of enamoring himself to a new fan base, or maybe he's being legit. Who knows?
It was a pretty great atmosphere. And I think you could say that about the entire weekend, really, with the Royals in town. That was probably the best series that I can remember watching in a long time. And then to cap it off on Monday with that David Price debut, it was a lot of fun to watch. And Rogers Centre was really animated, really into the game. David Price, of course, dominating. It really had a playoff baseball feel to it. And I think that's why it's been so fun to watch. These games matter again, and that makes it, you know, just as someone who enjoys watching good baseball games, it's so much different than watching a team go down the stretch and really struggle and falter as the season comes to an end.
In any part of your life, when things matter, it is nice. And it seems like Toronto Blue Jays games matter now. David Price goes out against the Minnesota Twins, who I do not think are a very good baseball team, and throws 8 innings, 3 hits, 1 earned run on a Torii Hunter home run, because of course the 40-year-old wily veteran Torii Hunter would get to David Price. 11 strikeouts, just 2 walks. Let's see here, 9, 10, 20 swinging strikes. That's an afternoon. And you know, you saw David Price kind of doing what David Price is going to do, mixing and matching, you know, a lot of fastballs, a lot of changeups, threw his changeup more than any other pitch, you know, a lot of sinkers, a lot of cutters. I mean, he almost kind of evenly sprinkled in those 4 pitches at different velocities, in different parts of the zones, in different counts, you know, ahead, behind, this and that, which is what makes him so great and what makes him so difficult to hit. You really saw kind of peak David Price yesterday.
It was as good as any pitcher's been. I know the comparison thrown out is Roy Halladay, and I think that fits. I mean, this is really the first time, at least for you could say that on a start-by-start basis, yeah, you've had some great performances, but to have a guy with the track record at Cy Young and pitching in Cy Young form too, David Price, really the next 11, 12 starts of the season are going to be huge for the Blue Jays because he is that kind of frontline starter.
Any pitch, any count. You know, that's what a lot of guys say about, you know, kind of the Kershaws and the Scherzers of this world. You know, I guess Scherzer's kind of different. Maybe like the Kershaws and the Holidays of this world, like the guys who have several plus pitches and can throw them all for strikes and have really good command over all of them and can put them anywhere they want. You throw any pitch in any count, and it's really hard for a hitter because hitters can't lock in on a certain thing, or they can't eliminate a zone, or they can't eliminate a certain pitch. I mean, they really have to, hitters have to hit to your game plan instead of you pitching to the hitter's game plan. So it, like, that's what makes him so difficult. And I, you know, you saw a lot of times yesterday, David Price would just pump a fastball and a guy would swing through it. And it's like, these are major league hitters. They're looking for fastballs. Like, they want a fastball to hit. David Price is able to get hitters like thinking about other pitches and guarding against other stuff to the degree where he can put like a 95 mile an hour fastball past a guy.
Yeah, the stuff is just incredible. You know, and you look at 95 mile an hour fastball, everything's in the zone. He's a guy with really great command, and the results speak for themselves. I mean, you look at last year, he pitched almost 250 innings. If there's a guy that you want to tab for a lot of big starts down the stretch, a guy that you want to take the burden off of your bullpen, this is it. He's heading into a free agent year, and he's established himself already as someone who can go so many innings at a time, to the point where I really do think we're going to see a lot more of those 8-inning starts from David Price.
How many of those starts, just starts in general, are we going to see? The Blue Jays have a decision to make with David Price. Are they going to pitch him every fifth game or every fifth day? I would fall on the side of doing it every fifth day, because he might only be here for 2 months. You know, a bit more if you make the playoffs. You want to get as much as you can, like just literally wring as much like out of the towel as you can of David Price. Where do you fall?
I agree. I think that makes a lot of sense. You have 4 off days in August, and if you go every fifth game, you're going to potentially miss out on the opportunity to get one last start from him. We saw in his Blue Jays debut just how dominant he can be. I think that if there's a way for the Blue Jays to start him every fifth day and make sure he's getting his regular rest at that point, it's not like you're overworking him, but it would maximize what they can get out of him.
We're looking at a difference of, what, 12 or 11 more starts, basically?
Yep.
So let me pause this to you, because a lot of people want David Price starting against the Yankees. And they say they was brought here to start against the Yankees and to beat the Yankees, who are ahead of the Blue Jays in the AL East right now, and who they're chasing. And you don't even, if the Blue Jays, you don't even think about the wild card. You chase the top of the AL East, and the wild card will take care of itself if you're winning games. Now, if you had a situation where you could get 11 starts of David Price, and let's say 3 of them were against the Yankees, or you could have 12 starts of David Price, but only 2 of them were against the Yankees. Where do you fall?
I think you want to maximize the innings that David Price pitches, basically. And if that means that he faces the Yankees a little less frequently, I think so be it. Someone's going to have to face the Yankees. The Blue Jays just need to win games. And I think the more innings David Price pitches, the better the chances that they have of winning lots of ball games.
I think that there is a danger here of getting too cute with the scheduling of David Price and when he pitches. I honestly, yeah, every fifth day. That's what it should, every fifth day. And if that fifth day ends up being an off day, he pitches the very next day. I don't care if Marco Estrada has thrown 3 straight no hitters. David Price throws the next day, because I just, you know, it's what you got him here for. You paid a heavy price to bring him here. You need to maximize your return on that, and you need to just make the postseason.
Yeah.
If you make the postseason, if you clinch and you're spraying champagne, then you can get cute, yeah. Right? Like, then, you know, bring up Chad Jenkins for a start, whatever, like rest your guys. Like, who cares? You're in the show, you're in the dance. But until you get there, you need David Price every fifth day.
Yeah, you really do. And I think if that means that you skip Marco Estrada here or Drew Hutchison there, that's fine.
Yeah, Drew Hutchison especially.
Yep.
David Price obviously was kind of the crown jewel of this trade deadline. Troy Tulowitzki also is now a Blue Jay, and it's just with everything that has happened, that's almost been forgotten. It's been less than a week. Troy Tulowitzki, like, is wearing a Blue Jays uniform every day, like, hitting leadoff. Like, that's pretty, like, I was talking to Price about it the other day, just, like, you know, coming to Toronto and everything like that, and he was like, yeah, well, you know, like, I kind of knew Toronto was all in when they got Tulo and they hit him leadoff. I was like, that's some kind of lineup. If Troy Tulowitzki's hitting leadoff, what are your kind of thoughts in general just on the week that was with you know, all of the excitement?
I think that the Blue Jays did a really great job overall. And I think that they gave up a lot to get what they got. There's no question. I think, you know, you look at what Daniel Norris did in his Tigers debut, and I think we've always maintained on this podcast, Daniel Norris has a lot of promise. I don't think we've ever strayed from that. He's going to be good. Jeff Hoffman has a good chance to be good as well. The Blue Jays traded 11 pitching prospects. Some of those guys are going to turn out. So they paid dearly for the upgrades they made, but those upgrades addressed the biggest need that the Blue Jays had, the starting rotation. They bolstered the bullpen. They added Troy Tulowitzki, arguably the top shortstop in baseball. So in doing that, they added pieces that helped them this year in a huge way. And in Revere and Tulowitzki, they added guys who can help them going forward as well. So you add it up. I mean, you look around at the national media, you look around asking rival evaluators with other teams, it's very clear the Blue Jays upgraded in a massive way, and I think that this makes them winners at the trade deadline.
I, in fact, made the point with Daniel Norris that, like, I feel like he needs a call-up and he needs that major league challenge in order to be good again. I made the point a couple podcasts ago. They're like, yeah, if they just bump him up to the majors and give him a start, I feel like he'll respond really well to that. I feel like the AAA experience is getting stale for Daniel Norris. Look what happened.
Yep. And he made a tremendous diving catch too showing off that athleticism. So it seems like good things are ahead for Norris and Matt Boyd, maybe up to the Tigers too before long. Those guys are going to help Detroit.
That's a guy who deserves a second shot. Just the ride that he had when he was here. He had one of the worst starts in the history of the American League. No outs, seven runs. I mean, just everything was getting barreled. And he's a good guy. Like, honestly, he's a very good person. And that's a guy that I feel deserves another shot. Blue Jays also adding Ben Revere, Mark Lowe, fixing, now that they've remodeled the kitchen and put in the big screen TV. Now they're, that's a nice new faucet. You know what I mean? Like, some nice new trimming on the door sort of deal. But that's stuff that helps, and it's stuff that makes your house better, and it's stuff that, raises the value of it. Mark Lowe, obviously didn't have a great introduction to Blue Jays fans, but I mean, this is a guy who had given up like four earned runs in 36 innings coming into that inning when he gave up three. He's going to be fine. And, Ben Revere is here to play every day in left field, which some people may disagree with, but John Gibbons really likes his ability to hit everything. He's got a crazy contact percentage, his ability to get on base, and his ability to give, provide reliable defense in left field and to be a guy out of the nine hole to, get on base for the big boys coming up.
Yeah, Ben Revere is kind of funny because he's almost a player of extremes, where he's really a three-tool player. He doesn't throw well at all.
No, he doesn't.
And he has no power. So you're left with speed, which is above average, contact and batting ability, which he can really do. And then, of course, his defense, which he showed off some good range already. So, he's a guy who's going to help the Blue Jays. I think that you look at Mark Lowe, good track record as well. So like you said, these are nice kind of pieces around the edges of the roster. They're not going to be on the side of Rogers Center, like I'm sure Troy Tulowitzki and David Price could be at some point this season, replacing Jose Reyes. But, they're nice pieces to have.
You don't think Mark Lowe is going to get a banner out there?
You never know.
The best part about Mark Lowe is he's got one of those, I don't even know what they're called, those things that athletes ride around on now where it's like a Segway, but it's just like a little plank. It motorizes you around. What's that thing called?
I have no idea. When he was carrying it into the clubhouse, I thought it was like a stereo, like a speaker system. And then you stand on it and you move around.
It's like a hoverboard, as our producer Sam McKee tells me. I don't know if that's the actual thing, but he has a little hoverboard and he rides it around. And there has been a challenge laid down with David Price, because David Price has a scooter. Marco Estrada also has an electric scooter. Those two guys have their little scooter gang going on. Mark Lowe has got the hoverboard. I mean, there's a lot of automated transportation in the Blue Jays clubhouse now. Yeah. And I think that's very important to their playoff odds.
It might be the secret to their success. Who knows?
The other big thing from the weekend was obviously the Royals kerfuffle, which was, I don't know, in depending on your opinion, maybe an exciting thing, maybe an incredibly stupid thing. I don't even know how to go about it right now. Josh Donaldson got plunked in the first inning by I want to say it was Enson Volquez, the man of the hairline receding into infinity.
Plunked. Oh, really?
Yeah, haven't you seen him with his hat off?
No.
Google image that,
okay,
my friend.
I'll do it. Wow.
It's bad. He plunked Josh Donaldson in the first inning, pretty clearly on purpose. I think Ben just pulled it up because I can see like the delight in his eyes.
It's loading.
Okay. But so he plunked Josh Donaldson clearly on purpose. Josh Donaldson said it was on purpose. Josh Donaldson said he also didn't mind it and that he was fine with it. When he's walked to first base, some people thought Josh Donaldson was chirping at Volquez, but he really just said, "You good." That's all I said. Volquez. All right, Ben's got it.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
You see what I'm getting with that one? He said, "You good?" And Volquez was like, "Yeah, I'm good." And that was the extent of that conversation. I think the Royals were maybe a little itchy on the trigger finger in terms of, jumping in. And you saw Perez and Hosmer trying to get in the middle. And all Josh Donaldson said was like, "Yeah, you good?" Because Josh Donaldson is the best. That happened. And, after the game, Volquez said that he did it because Josh Donaldson had been pimping everything, or that Josh Donaldson should just take it because he's been hitting home runs and admiring them too much. I don't know. Josh Donaldson doesn't strike me as a pimper of home runs. I mean, he watches them, but
he pimped a walk.
He pimped a, yeah, that was after yeah, the whole thing. Yeah. We've seen Jose Bautista do that with regularity. So anyways, Volquez plunks Donaldson. Warnings are issued by home plate umpire Jim Wolf, brother of Randy Wolf, fun fact. Warnings are issued. Everybody gets upset about that. Two more pitches buzz Donaldson. He gets very upset about them. One from Volquez, and I don't know if the second one's from Volquez as well.
Madsen?
This is the second one from Madsen. I know Madsen hit Troy Tulowitzki with a fastball in kind of like the chest and forearm area. Blue Jays very upset. Aaron Sanchez came in to pitch the eighth, got the first two batters, had Alcides Escobar first pitch right down the middle, second pitch inside, third pitch clipped Escobar on the knee. Sanchez thrown out, bench is clear. You know, you saw it.
Which presumably was intentional.
I think it was. Aaron Sanchez said it wasn't.
Right. Which is what he has to say.
Which is what he has to say, but I don't know, first pitch was right down the middle.
Yeah.
Right? And second pitch, I mean, didn't come that close to hitting him. I don't know. Like, I think that there's a lot of people in the Blue Jays clubhouse who hope it was intentional, and they probably know whether it was or not. You know, I think that's the sort of thing that a lot of Blue Jays wanted to see happen. Either way, I mean, the whole thing was a mess.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's comments on Twitter about, you know, Jose Bautista's calling out Ned Yost, and then you're down over Tira going after Jose Bautista. I mean, what?
So you were sifting through all this. You wrote about it a couple times.
I did.
You were talking to these guys about it. Where,
yeah.
What, how can we make sense of this? Like, where do the Blue Jays end up after all this craziness? What do we take away from it, if anything?
I don't know if you make sense of it. It was a lot of childishness. I thought the comment that stuck with me was R.A. Dickey.
Well, you know, I think they're used to pushing people around. So when they come onto the playground and there's a kid that is bigger than they are for a day, I think it probably pisses them off. And I can't blame them. That's part of their swagger. That's part of what makes them good. And they compete hard. And, I mean, Zobrist, after that HBP, hit a home run, and they're back in the game. You just can't ever take a moment off against a playoff-caliber team. And they are a playoff-caliber team.
And he felt like that's why they were, you know, I don't know, that's why they threw a Donaldson. That's, you know, they were up and in Donaldson a couple more times. I mean, when Sanchez plucked, when Tulo got plunked, like, the Royals were ready to come over the railing. Like, they were ready to come out of the dugout. If you watch the replay and you look at the Jays dugout, they're just kind of like, what? Like, they're not looking to, you know, two guys on the Jays are like in their 40s. Like, yeah. The Jays aren't looking to start any fights. And then after the Sanchez one, it was the Royals who came right on the field out of the dugout. So I felt like Dickey's comments kind of made some sense to me, in that I felt like the Royals were kind of looking to start something.
Yeah. Well, it wouldn't be the first time that we've seen them get in the middle of things this year. Jordano Ventura obviously has been in the center of some of these high emotion events.
Nice way of putting it.
Yeah.
He's been an ass a few times is what he's been.
Yeah. Going after Mike Trout. I mean, that's a battle you're going to lose 10 times out of 10.
The thing is, the Trout thing is, he went after Trout because Trout just got a hit off him, right?
Yeah. That's what Mike Trout does.
Like, when he threw at Lurie, like, at least they had cause, because Lurie took out, you know, the middle infielder on the double play. But like, Mike Trout just got a hit off you. He's Mike Trout. He's the best player in the game.
Yeah.
That's like going after Jeter. Like, why? Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, Mike Trout is so unobjectionable.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the quotes from the Royals after the game were pretty telling, too. They were pissed off. I mean, you look at what Volquez was saying, calling Josh Donaldson a little baby. He was crying like a little baby. He's not Barry Bonds. He's got 3 years in the league. Yeah. I mean, these are some pretty inflammatory quotes.
I even forgot about those, because there's been so much conjecture over this. There's so much just crap being talked, like, between these two teams. Like, that's what I completely forgot about that. I thought the best line of all of them was Josh Donaldson, when we asked him, like, oh, did you think that Volquez should have been thrown out? He's like, no, I don't want him thrown out. I thought he was good hitting.
That tells you something.
That was a great line. And yeah, that was so Josh Donaldson, too.
Yeah. But the Blue Jays ultimately are going to be able to hit all kinds of pitching, you know, whether it's Darren O'Day and the Orioles or the Royals, that's yeah, their strength. That's what they're going to do. And, you know, at least you look at Bryce Harper getting thrown out of some games in recent weeks. And the key, I think, in all these things is to, you know, be somewhat safe and not be dumb about it and get into fights. And ultimately, that part of that involves defending your teammate and the whole code of baseball. On the other hand, you just got to avoid getting suspensions. You got to stay on the field, because the Blue Jays have more important things to worry about than what Edinson Volquez thinks about Josh Donaldson.
Well, that's the biggest thing for the Jays. And I haven't heard about any kind of discipline coming back. I think, you know, Aaron Sanchez is a guy who could be fined and suspended just for, you know, it having happened after the warnings. John Gibbons coming back onto the field for what he said was to be a peacemaker. I think he just wanted to yell at Jim Wolf some more, frankly.
He had to pat Omar Infante in the back.
Yeah. He just wanted to say hi to Omar. I think he honestly just wanted to yell at Jim Wolf some more. But also, like, when you're in the dugout, in the clubhouse, you see that going on, like, your instant reaction is, I need to get out there and protect my team. And that's what you want to do. And honestly, Gibbons getting thrown out in that spot and going after Wolf, because he came out to get thrown, like this is before he was ejected, and he came out to argue with Wolf to get thrown out after the second time Donaldson had been buzzed. Like that was big for the players. You can put his, like a lot of people don't put a lot of, you know, weight and value into those sort of things, but the players appreciate that.
There's an art to getting tossed as a manager.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think that those are the kind of scenarios where it makes sense. If your team is clearly so enraged about something, then maybe that's the time to do it.
Yeah. I feel like even if you just, you know, obviously we're Toronto Blue Jays podcast, we're in Toronto, but if you just look at this thing objectively, I feel like the Royals don't look good in this. And some of the coverage of it that I've read from the United States and even from like Royals fans, like if you look at like the Kansas City Royals Reddit, like their fans are not happy with like Ventura going after Bautista, like saying he's a nothing, like, you know, the comments about Donaldson being a baby, all that stuff. Like there's like even their fans said, like, yeah, we got beat 3 out of 4. Like we don't like all this crap talk.
I mean, Ventura is completely out of line.
Yeah.
Right. It's not to say that he can't recover from this and find little bit more balance in the way he looks at these things, but for him to call all these players out and start all these fights, it's just really unbecoming, and it's no one needs that. I mean, we're here to watch baseball. We're here to talk about baseball. It's just he takes it to another level, and it's silliness at that point.
We should say that he did apologize. So
yeah,
you know,
credit to him there.
If you're listening, we got it in there for you. You know, yeah, and he did apologize, and you know, it's ridiculous. Like Ventura's a Dominican, just like Jose Bautista. Bautista is one of the best Dominican players of, you know, I don't know, of all time, but certainly of this generation, right? And so to say he's a no one, like it doesn't even make sense, really.
It really doesn't.
And to go after Josh Donaldson about, oh, you've only got 3 years in the league, like this and that.
And that was from Volquez.
That was from Volquez. But just on the strain of Royals comments. Like a lot of the comments didn't make sense. Like Ned Yost could have, like after that game, just said like, yeah, you know, I thought things escalated, but thought it was fine. He went out of his way to say, yeah, Jim Wolf did a great job.
Yeah.
Jim Wolf was fantastic.
I'd take no issue with Dan Joe's comments, really. I mean, to say an umpire did a good job, to me, that's kind of a nothing comment. I'm hesitant to read too much into that. I think it's more the players who are basically insulting their fellow players, which is a pretty small fraternity. You have 750 guys who are elite in the world at what they do. I mean, you'd like to think that they would at least see the bigger picture instead of picking at each other in this petty way.
But I thought that Jose Bautista made a really good point in that, like, how can Ned Yost say that, you know, Jim Wolf can judge intent? Like, you can't judge intent, really. When pitches are coming in at like 95 to 97, you can't judge whether it's slipped or not.
I mean, Ned Yost was wrong. I just don't take any issue with the fact that, so he thinks Jim Wolf umpired a good game. All right.
Yeah.
Well, he can think that.
It goes back to a case that I made earlier on this podcast weeks ago after the kerfuffle with the Jays and the Orioles. The warnings are stupid. This exact same scenario played out. Like, this isn't the first time that Tim Leaper has ended up like managing the Blue Jays because both Gibby and DeMarlo have been thrown out. This happened against the Orioles. And Osuna got chucked and Hale went, and Gibby went. And, you know, after the Orioles had hit a couple Blue Jays, I mean, it was, you know, it's not like the warning system is so, like, why? And we talked to Gibby about it the other day, and he's like, yeah, I don't even know when warnings became a thing. I'm not even sure if they're in the rule book or like what, like how, like who started this thing, but they certainly don't turn down the tension. They just escalate the tension. They just make things like more on edge.
Yeah.
And like, if you're not going to enforce it, like Jim Wolf didn't, I mean, what's even the point of it? And if a guy clearly throws at a player, like it was obvious that Enson Volquez threw at Josh Donaldson. He didn't come close to hitting another batter for the rest of the game until Josh Donaldson, when he buzzed him back. But otherwise, that one was right in the numbers for Donaldson. If a guy clearly throws at someone, throw him out of the game.
Yeah. And I think that in that way, you know, I don't think Major League Baseball would do this, but you could just have a zero tolerance policy. If you wanted to,
so it should.
If you wanted to make sure that there's no intentional beanballs, you can have a zero tolerance policy. And then at that point, you're going to see a drop in that kind of hit by pitch.
It's so dumb, especially in the American League, where no pitcher is ever going to have to, you know, answer that bell, right? Like they're never, like Enson Volquez is never going to have to take the plate against the Toronto Blue Jays unless he goes to a National League team down the line, and the Blue Jays play them in an interleague series in their ballpark, and years later the Blue Jays are still have that axe to grind. Like, it's never gonna happen.
Yeah.
So it's like the whole act of just whipping a ball at somebody because you're mad that they looked at their home run, or you're mad that they've been like crushing you this series and they've been locked in.
The other thing is, I think it makes sense if batters hit big home runs in big moments, I think that as a sport, you want those batters to celebrate those home runs. You know, where you know, you look at Blue Jays history, Joe Carter celebrated his big home run, the biggest home run in franchise history. That's obviously an extreme example, but if you hit a home run that wins a game, fine. Admire it, you know? I don't think that there should be anything wrong with that. If you're a pitcher, well, you did throw that pitch that the batter hit over the wall, and it's a home run.
He, like, Josh Donaldson doesn't even really pimp his home runs, really. Like, he'll take a look at them, right? And then he just tosses the bat, he goes for a run, and when he comes back, he puts up the six before he touches the home plate for Toronto and his relationship with Stroman. They worked that out in spring training and all that. And then he goes back to the dugout. Like, he doesn't, like, there's not a ton of theatric. Like, I don't know how much more he could tone it down from that. You want him to just hit the home run and put his head down and just slowly jog. Like, what do you want him to do?
Sprint around those bases. Get back in the dugout 15 seconds or less.
Do the Eric Thames. Remember Eric Thames? He used to, like, whip around the bases. He'd be hitting third before the ball, like, had fell into the seats. Like, he used to legit sprint, and he just didn't know why. He just, like, that's how he always did it.
Pure hustle.
Pure hustle and heart. Hashtag. This is at the letters on sportsnet.ca and on iTunes. We're going to take a break, but after this, we will talk about the dearly departed Danny V. Daniel Valencia, now a member of the Oakland Athletics. We'll talk about the Blue Jays playoff position and where they're going next. And maybe we'll take a look at the New York Yankees. All that and more on At the Letters.
1-1 pitch hit in the air. Deep right field, Hunter turns and it's gone. Rain done been brought by Josh Donaldson. His 27th of the season has given the Blue Jays a 3-1 lead.
It continues on At the Letters on sportsnet.ca and on iTunes. Please like, share, favorite, and subscribe. Please tell all of your friends and family members, all of these friends now that you have, they're all of a sudden interested in the Blue Jays and haven't been following all year and have been really down on the team. Everybody who's now jumping back on that old bandwagon, tell them to listen to a little ATL.
And if you're new to At the Letters, welcome.
Hey, yeah. Thanks for being here. I guarantee you we're a lot better now than we were at the beginning of the season.
I hope so. Definitely wouldn't want to be getting worse.
No. I feel like we're moving in the right direction. I don't think we could get worse. I feel like we're moving in the right direction. Let's talk about the other kind of move that happened this weekend that, you know, I felt might slip under the radar, but, like, totally didn't. People were very upset. Daniel Valencia, designated for assignment by the Toronto Blue Jays, heading out along with Ezekiel Carrera, who didn't spark nearly as much outrage. Real shocker there. That was to get Mark Lowe in. Mark Lowe's already in. I don't know. It was Revere, to get Revere in.
Kawasaki.
Munenori Kawasaki came up. Who else? So yeah, Tapera was option as well. So you had Tapera, Carrera, and Danny V heading out. And then he had Lowe, Revere, and Munenori Kawasaki coming up. And I think that the two parts of all those machinations that really, like, made people upset, and if you were on Twitter on Saturday morning when it happened, you knew that people were very upset, was Danny Valencia heading out, Munenori Kawasaki coming in. I don't think those two moves are directly correlated, but those are the two moves that people seem to really latch on to as why are the Blue Jays doing this?
Well, I think Danny Valencia was having a really productive season. And so I think that people were rightfully surprised by the fact that he was designated and ultimately claimed by the Athletics. He's gone. I mean, that's a pretty productive player. Ultimately, what it came down to in the Blue Jays' view was they wanted Ben Revere out there every day. At that point, you have two right-handed hitting bench pieces in Colabello and Valencia, both of whom are having productive seasons. They pick Colabello. Gibbons specifically pick Colabello. So, you know, you could make the argument either way. Valencia is a valuable player. He's a big league player, in my view, and he was having a good year. 7 home runs, I think it was. A lefty masher. I think it's an 860 OPS in his career against lefties. He's a useful player, but, you know, this speaks to the success of the Blue Jays bench, that they didn't need him around desperately, whereas in years past, he would have been easily their best bench player.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there was what happened was after the trade deadline on Friday, like, Alex Anthopoulos and John Gibbons just hadn't talked at all, because Alex is so hunkered down with trying to make moves. Gibby's worrying about the team. So late that night, they sat around and talked about it. And they sat around and talked until about 2 or 3 in the morning about what they wanted to do with their roster. And, you know, Alex made a point of, look, right now is about making the playoffs. I want my manager to have the roster that he wants. So Alex said, all right, Gibby, like, it's down to Colabello and Valencia. You can choose your guy. You can have whichever one you want. John Gibbons chose Chris Colabello. And you can make the case that you know, they were so close that you could have gone either way, really, and still been happy. I think that Chris Colabello, if you're looking for strictly a bat, is probably the guy you want a bit more. I mean, Valencia gives you a bit more value defensively. And, you know, he just kind of makes a bit more sense in terms of there's a very defined role for him in terms of the old platoon guy. You're obviously getting him in against lefties. Danny Valencia had been, you know, starting to do okay against righties. This year against righties, he's hitting .279, .300 OBP, .547 slugging, .847 OPS, in almost 100 plate appearances. So that's a decent sample. I think it came down to, you know, Chris Colabello as a bat is just edged out Danny Valencia just by that much. And there are going to be moves this week that would have eliminated Danny Valencia regardless.
Yeah, very interesting. And Jeff Blair writing on sportsnet.ca recently that it would be a surprise if the Blue Jays don't bring Josh Toley up to be around and there to catch R.A. Dickey. So that's another interesting wrinkle in all of this, is the Blue Jays aren't done making their moves. It seems as though they're still contemplating ways to get better, and this is something that Anthopoulos and Gibbons were both hinting at on the weekend. It does look as though Josh Toley would be in consideration to be up here before long.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, that's an interesting move. Russ Martin is very beat up right now. All you have to do is just watch him run, and you can see that he's carrying a few injuries. He's got a thumb issue from catching the knuckleball, because, you know, when he catches the knuckleball, I mean, very rarely is he able to catch it right on kind of the sweet spot of the mitt, right, where you catch it and don't feel anything. A lot of times he's catching it kind of around kind of the, I don't know what you want to call it, the circumference of it or whatever. And, that hurts. Like, that's a ball going like high 70s, low 80s, dinging off your thumb. So, you know, it's he doesn't have a broken thumb, but he has a very sore thumb, and it's really affecting him. And you could see how that would carry over to the plate in terms of hitting. Like, your thumbs are so important on the bat.
Yeah, three catchers, not ideal in the least, if and when it does come to that. At the same time, you're almost getting to the point where it's 3-4 weeks until the September 1st date when rosters can expand. And at that point, I mean, that will be a sigh of relief for a lot of teams in contention. Mm-hmm. Presumably, the Blue Jays will still be among those teams. At that point, you expand the bullpen. You absolutely have three catchers up. You have extra outfielders, some more, maybe platoon bats, guys who can be used as pinch hitters. That's going to be relief. But until that point, the Blue Jays really have to go in a kind of a sprint mode and do what they can to stay in this thing.
I think that's a great point. It's sprint mode. It's really, as far as the roster right now, it's scramble mode, as in, you know, get the best team together for the next 2 or 3 days and then adjust after that. Because you look at the Blue Jays roster right now, 8-man bullpen, they don't have a fourth outfielder. The fourth outfielder is Chris Colabello, kind of. I mean, it's not Ryan Goins because he's your everyday starting second baseman, right? A lot of this is because Devin Travis got hurt. I think if Devin Travis didn't get hurt, you could see a situation where Ryan Goins got optioned and Danny Valencia stayed on the roster, you know, or you could see a situation where actually Ryan Goins could stay on the roster. Munenori Kawasaki didn't have to come up and Danny Valencia could have stayed on the roster if you had Devin Travis still healthy. But Devin Travis got hurt. He headed out to Dunedin yesterday on Monday, and he's going to continue his rehab there. And the Blue Jays are going to try to do everything they can to get him back this year, which would be great because he's been a very productive player. But that's also a part of it that a lot of people didn't consider, is that with Devin Travis's injury, you needed that depth in the middle infield.
Yeah, definitely. And that was a big part of the reason that Kawasaki came up. They wanted to give Troy Tulowitzki a day off. Mm-hmm. To do that, you need a shortstop and a second baseman. And so that was another reason that Valencia was shipped out of town.
Absolutely. I think Danny Valencia is going to do very well with Oakland. The Blue Jays fans are going to get to see him again very soon.
Along with Brett Laurie, possible second baseman,
Along with Brett Laurie when he comes in. You know, the thing with Danny Valencia, he's a very productive player, but I mean, a number of organizations now have decided they don't have room for him, like, and that they can't fit him in. You can look at Minnesota, Boston, Baltimore, Kansas City, now Toronto. Like, a number of organizations that he goes to find that, you know, we don't, you know, yeah, you bring a very specific skill set. You know, you hit a certain side of the plate very well, and you can play a couple positions, like, okay, but we just don't have room for you.
Yeah, he's a classic lefty masher, and he can do that well. At the same time, he's a bench player, and he's one of those guys who has been a journeyman.
Meanwhile, the Blue Jays have won 5 out of 6, are currently today, as we record this, in playoff position. I want to say, I'm going to pull that up quickly, but I want to say they're tied for the wild card. Did Baltimore get in there last night too?
Baltimore, Minnesota, Toronto, all tied.
Oof. So three teams tied for that second wildcard spot, and then LA's got the first wildcard spot, although they're in like a hell of a fight with Houston for the lead in the AL West there. You have to think one of Houston or the Angels are going to be either the wild card and the other one's going to win the division.
Like, I would think so.
Yeah,
both teams are pretty strong, and Houston really reinforced themselves at the deadline. I think they got a lot better. That's a team to be reckoned with right now.
You have to think that, yeah, both those teams are going to make the playoffs. And then, so it gets interesting then, because you've got two AL East teams in the mix for the second wild card. You've also got Minnesota in that mix. Tampa Bay is, you know, kind of thinking about it. I mean, they're on the outside looking in. I know I completely wrote them off a couple podcasts ago, and I guess I have to stick to that, but you know, they could force their way back into this if they wanted to, you know, but it's in Texas is also kind of outside looking in. The Tigers aren't going to do anything, neither are the White Sox, so it's, you know, you've got a sense of how this race is going to shape up in them, which is kind of interesting, because a lot of times you don't have a sense this far out of what races are going to look at like, and it looks like right now we have a pretty good sense of how it's going to look.
Yeah, it's pretty muddled right now, and I think that if you look at it on paper, I would say the Blue Jays have one of the top five rosters in the American League. So now it comes down to, can they stay healthy? Can they play up to their potential? We've seen them struggle with that before. I mean, we've seen it this year. They've blown saves. They've struggled in moments when they really should have done better. And that's why to this point in the season, or at least until a week ago, they were at that 500 mark.
The Blue Jays and Orioles have also closed the gap in the Yankees slightly. It was at 8 games at one point, and now both teams are 5.5 back of first place in the American League East. That's another race that's going to have to be watched very closely, just because, and I know that, you know, listeners, you have heard this over and over again, but you're going to keep hearing it. The Toronto Blue Jays played the Yankees a lot, 13 times over the rest of the season. There's only like, I don't know, 50, after the Twins series, there's only going to be 56 games left or something like that. Like, not a ton. So that's going to be a race that's going to have to really be watched. And this weekend in New York, it's going to be big, because this weekend, I believe the way you get set up, you're going to have Price starting the first game. You'd have Estrada after that, and then who's starting the...
I think it'd be Dickey Price Estrada.
Dickey Price Estrada, right? There you go. So you'd have Dickey Price Estrada, which is pretty, you know, perhaps as good as you can line it up. Maybe you'd want to get Burley in there. I mean, Dickey's as hot as any Blue Jays pitcher right now. David Price is David Price. And then you can kind of flip a coin between Burley and Estrada, whoever, you know, is going to have a good start. But, you know, that's pretty much as good as you can line it up. Drew Hutchison, still very much a part of this rotation, still very much a consideration. Somebody the Blue Jays are going to have to manage going down the street. He's now clearly the fifth starter, the fifth option in terms of this rotation. Maybe we'll see the Blue Jays get creative going down the stretch with how they use him. What do you think?
I got a crazy theory.
Love a crazy theory.
Okay. This is something the Blue Jays, I'm assuming, would never do. I don't think basically any team in baseball would do this. So I'm just throwing it out there as more of a thought experiment than an actual idea.
Okay.
But so you look at Drew Hutchison, first inning, batters hit .330 against him, OBP close to .400, .912 OPS. They're just hitting him really hard in the first inning. Not a surprise. The first inning is usually an inning when teams do damage. That's when their best hitters are at the plate.
Yep.
So if you're the Blue Jays and you know this about Drew Hutchison, and you're facing a team like the Yankees, which has a lot of left-handed bats at the top of their order, Ellsbury, Gardner, McCann's up there, Teixeira being a switch hitter, would it be the craziest thing in the world to have Aaron Loop go out there, or even Brett Cecil, first inning, one inning of relief, and then you go to Hutchison for the second through the fifth or sixth inning, and then you let him do his thing one, two times through the order, and then you go back to the bullpen?
What does this world come to? Blue Jays fifth starter, Aaron Loop.
They would never
do it.
I know they would never do it.
But yeah.
It would be an interesting way around that, because you avoid the first inning issue.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's anything about the first inning that makes that happen. It's just that you're facing tough hitters. And then at that point, you're able to go through the bottom of the order, go once through the top of the order, and do that. You know, I think when teams get really creative with their pitching staffs, that's usually something like a wild card play-in game, a decision game in a playoff series. They're not doing this in the regular season, I'm fully aware. But it is one of those things that makes you think about Drew Hutchison, because you look at times through the order. First time through the order, he's okay. 745 OPS allowed. Second time through, 714. Third time through, it jumps to 1,044. So Hutchison clearly is showing that third time through, you want to be cautious. So
right.
Anytime he's pitching, regardless, you're going to have the bullpen on notice. This would just be a way to do it where it would totally throw things off and potentially get better results.
So in your scenario, like, how long is Aaron Loop or Brett Cecil, whoever starts that game, staying in the game?
Four batters.
Four or five batters,
yeah.
So you're just getting through that. So what if they all come in the first inning? Like, what if he gets hit for, you know, two runs? Then you take him out, and you bring in Hutch?
Yeah.
And then you fire your manager.
Yeah, and this is the thing, too. This is why it would never happen, is because you would never see a big league manager put their reputation on the line like this. But is this, okay, how crazy, how out there is this?
It's not that out there. In the world of people who think about baseball, it's not that out there. In the world of people who actually work in baseball, it is.
They would never.
Like, I'd love for you to do, like, for my birthday's coming up, and if your birthday gift to me could be just pitching that to John Gibbons in the scrum.
No.
Like, in his office before the game, if you could just, like, John, like, Gibby, I got an idea for you.
It would never happen. It would. I know that the Blue Jays would never do this. The one thing that they could do,
I want to see his reaction so bad.
I don't even know if I could explain it properly. But yeah. the one thing they could do, though, is you look at the times through the order and you say, all right, first time through, he's okay.
Yeah.
Second time through is okay. After that, he's not. So that means that maybe this is a chance for the Blue Jays to say, Hutchison's going to go five innings, whatever it is that he gets through the lineup a couple times. And at that point, you turn it over and it becomes more of a bullpen game than it would be for someone like Burley or Price.
Right. I feel like the Blue Jays would say, like, well, if we're like reinventing the wheel in order to get Drew Hutchison innings, like, maybe we just need to realize Drew Hutchison isn't that good of a pitcher. Like, maybe we just need to say, like, maybe, you know, this guy doesn't have to start for us anymore. And they don't have a great option. They don't have that depth. Like, Randy Wolf is your six. Like, I don't think they're going to stretch out Aaron Sanchez again. I really don't see that happening. Maybe you could stretch out, like, a Hendricks. But, they don't have that depth. But at some point, this is going to come to a head that Drew Hutchison hasn't gotten results pretty much all season.
Yeah. So, again, I have no illusions about the Blue Jays trying this out. It's just an interesting thought experiment is how I will put it.
I was trying to spin us out of that there. I would be absolutely floored. Yeah, it's just never going to happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, crazy. I don't know. Has a team ever done anything like that before?
You see some interesting arrangements in the play-in games.
Yeah.
Yeah, where teams go to their bullpens very early.
Blue Jays might be in a play-in game. Hopefully, when the Blue Jays are in a playoff game, if the Blue Jays are in a play-in game, they have David Price lined up for that. And if they don't have David Price lined up, they have a Dickey or a Burley lined up for that. That's what's nice, is that at least the Blue Jays have three semi-reliable options. Like, Dickey and Burley have their days when they get hit, but, you know, over the last couple of months, they've both been very, very reliable.
Even if it lines up for Estrada or Hutchison, you just lean on the bullpen extra heavily.
Yeah. I feel fine with Estrada in that spot, to be honest with you. I feel fine about Estrada lately.
He's been very good. He's justified that. Absolutely.
Seriously. It's very much flown under the radar. But that's a guy that you're not even, like, that's a guy who wasn't in the rotation earlier in the season, went in when Daniel Norris went down. And there hasn't even been a thought of taking him back out.
Yeah. No, very effective 3.5 ERA. You get that from a fourth or fifth starter, you'll take that every day of the week.
Mm-hmm. Let's just quickly look ahead. You got three more games against the Twins, then you go to New York, then you're back home for Oakland and New York. Again, some very important series here. Three of these four series are against teams that the Blue Jays are theoretically chasing, if you include the Twins in that, although they're tied with the Twins now. I'm at a point where I wouldn't be, like, I could, the way the Blue Jays are playing right now, I could see a Twins sweep, frankly.
Like, yeah, a sweep, where the Blue Jays win all four.
A sweep of the Twins. Yes. Frankly, I could see that.
The Blue Jays are playing very well. Would not surprise me.
So well right now. In terms of the bats, Josh Donaldson's on an absolute tear right now. Jose Bautista has been taking some good at bats. Edwin Encarnacion has been hitting some balls very hard, maybe not getting the results that he's looking for, but I mean, he's been taking some great advance at bats. Ryan Goins is on a hot streak right now, which perfectly coincides with him getting playing time with Devin Travis out of the lineup. This is a time. These next couple of weeks, and the Blue Jays can seriously make up some ground here and maybe even take a lead in this wild card and all of a sudden be protecting a lead instead of constantly chasing.
That's plan A for them. And I think it's within their grasp, as it has been all season. And they've definitely got a roster that looks like amazingly different than it did even a couple months ago.
All right, let's get out of here, unless you have any other crazy theories to throw out here. Unless you want to reinvent baseball some more.
I am maxed out. It's enough for one day, I think.
Anything to plug here? New Sportsnet magazine out this week. I have a story in it in which I go inside the trade deadline with Alex Anthopoulos and the Blue Jays and really get into in-depth into all that gritty detail. And I believe it's going to be up online It sounds like today, Tuesday, August the 4th, at some point. So definitely read that.
We'll link to it on the podcast description once it's out. Also, check out sportsnet.ca and our new baseball page. Of course, the new page overall, but it looks very good, really nicely designed, and kind of a cleaner look. So check that out when you get the chance to.
Yeah, new design today. Do I still get my picture up there?
It's up there. Don't worry. They didn't take that down.
That wasn't driving away too much traffic.
No.
Anything else? Pitch talks. We're going to be at Pitch Talks on August the 20th, which is coming up a lot faster than I even want to think about. That's like August. It's August 4th today.
I know.
What happened to July? It's terrifying.
Yeah. So we got that. So Jeff Blair will be on the podcast next week with us.
Oh, yeah. Blair.
Jonah Carey the week after that. So it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah. We have some serious guests lined up. Blair's coming on. We're going to have Jonah Carey. We'll be at Pitch Talks. Please go, you know, buy tickets to that. They're selling out very quickly. It's www.pitchtalksbaseball.com, I believe, is the thing there. And you can also get them Pitch Talks on Twitter. Might be some promo codes floating around that can save you $5. Come out and see that. I think that's it. Anything else to plug?
That's it.
We do other things. Blue Jays coverage all week on sportsnet.ca. I don't know. Listen to the radio. Turn every television in your house onto Sportsnet and turn all your radios on.
That's what I do.
That's how I operate, frankly. That is it for us. My name is Arden Zwelling, at Arden Zwelling on Twitter. That's Ben Nicholson Smith at B Nicholson Smith on Twitter. And our producer is Sam McKee at Sam_Alton_McKee on Twitter. We are at the letters.